Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, regular listeners to this spot will know that this show has a long association with the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. And over the next few weeks, we'll be discussing some of the issues faced by these entrepreneurs with some of this year's finalists and alumni of the programme. Today, we're going to look at sustainability and how to keep it a concern while also turning a profit. And I'm joined now by two of this year's finalists in the form of Seamus Fahey of ICS Medical Devices, and I also have David Corcoran of Saltech. And we're also joined by Rose Hyde, who is Head of Operations at Ballymaloe Food, who was a finalist last year. Folks, you're all very welcome.
Thank you very much.
What I'm going to do first is just get you briefly to introduce yourself and your business. And I know this is always a tough time for entrepreneurs to do it in a short enough period, but as briefly as you can, could you introduce your business, starting with you, Seamus?
Yeah, thank you very much. ICS Medical Devices, we're based out of Galway, which is Europe's medtech hub. We provide contract development and manufacturing services to innovative companies, helping them bring their next generation of therapeutic products to the market.
Well done. Okay, Rose?
Thank you. So I'm from Ballymaloe Foods, and we produce a range of condiments and sauces that aim to bring flavour to mealtimes and joy to our customers.
Right. Very impressed. Can you go all the way, David?
So David Corcoran, Saltech Ireland Limited. Saltech is a hazardous waste recycling company. And what's unique about Saltech is we actually recycle hazardous waste into a range of products.
Okay, very impressed, all three of you. I've been doing this job a long time, and business and entrepreneurial folk struggle to give it to me in two quick sentences, so that's a good start. Seamus, if I come to you first, we're going to talk a little bit about sustainability today, which is obviously on everyone's lips in terms of how the business is run. You're in the world of med tech. We know it, I suppose, from the big companies like your Medtronic and your Boston Scientific. You're actually doing it from an Irish company perspective, but how do you get sustainability into your business, and how important is it to you that it's in every part of the operation?
Yeah, for sure. From an ICS perspective, we do, I guess, what everybody does in terms of trying to do the right things environmentally. In a more global perspective or a more holistic perspective, we're medtech. We're very, by our nature, we're very conscientious in terms of what we're doing. We're trying to, you know, in a way, we're trying to save people's lives.
And what's the ultimate product you make?
Yeah, our ultimate products are our customers' ultimate products are catheter-based technology products.
Catheters.
Products that go to the heart via a slit in an artery in the groin and deliver therapeutic solutions that maybe 30 years ago, 20 years ago, up to years ago, would have been an open heart surgery application. We're doing it minimally invasively, so where the patient goes to the hospital and they can literally walk out that day or within a couple of days.
And if I visited your facility, obviously manufacturing has traditionally, if you go back the decades, was sometimes could be a dirty industry and produced a lot of waste and so on. Tell us about how your modern business is reversing that.
Yeah, so look at we have to be clean. We're making medical device products to treat people. These are going to go into real life people. So we have to be clean. We have to be thorough. We have to be very accountable in everything we do. And that's at the very nature of our industry. In terms of what we're doing from a design perspective and with our customers, products are becoming more, they're looking at the ecosystem of product design into the future. So some therapies have topped out. This is how we treat them. But now we're looking at how can we treat them better? Can we take the patient out of a hospital and treat them in a GP surgery or in an early clinical environment. So taking the burden out of the hospitals, taking the patient out of that that invasive environment and bringing them out into a more local environment.
Sure. Now, obviously, your products are heavily regulated, does that help you with sustainability on the facility, that you have to do certain things certain ways anyway, even if you wanted to go another direction?
It helps in that, as you said, we're a very clean and thorough industry, but it's also a burden because it puts up a lot of regulatory barriers in terms of change. So change is slow, change is thoughtful, and change can be inexpensive. That can be a significant barrier. So where you want to design a product more sustainably into the future, it can be a long process, it can be an expensive process, and then you have your make-buy decisions that our customers have to make in terms of do this or not.
Yeah, obviously you're probably a big energy user. That must have been a tough area for you in recent years.
It is, and it causes us to act, and we've gone through an extensive renovation and extension into our facility, so we've done all those, that build out with the latest energy practices, the best practices in mind, so from compressors to electricity users, all those things are taken.
And in terms of reducing waste, is there much you can do, or is it already down to the bare, you weren't producing much anyway? anyway, or what's the...
Yeah, so we wouldn't be the biggest users in the world, but there's still little things we can do, and it's becoming more and more of a design input into the next generation of products. So traditionally, for example, pack products are very, very heavily packaged, because you want to get a product out of Galway to the United States, you want it to arrive fit for purpose, so you heavily package it. So now that into the future, we're looking at, okay, can we package those products with a little bit more density, so more product can fit on that pellet and more product can fit on that plane and get
right. So it sounds like you're on a bit of a journey there's more work to be done, but you're on that sort of
the whole industry is on that, but as you said, it's a slow process, it's a journey. We have the barriers, you have the regulatory barriers, but you also need to ensure that the product still arrives fit for purpose and no one gets hurt by any changes that are made along the way.
Okay, fascinating. Rose, food, of course, everyone knows about sustainability in food and everyone has strong opinions on what sustainable farming and food production. What have you guys been doing in recent years to kind of move along that journey?
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of things for quite a long time. For us, sustainability is really inherited because when my grandparents started Ballymaloe House back in the 1940s, it was founded in a responsibility to the land, the soil, the farmers and the local community. So it hasn't, although it's a recent kind of buzzword, it's been talked about a lot. For us, for a long time, we've been trying to do our best. And through Origin Green's programme through Borbia, we've been then targeting our waste reduction, our water reduction.
All your packaging is recyclable, for instance, I noticed.
Yeah, exactly. And we're trying to move to pre-recycled packaging where we can as well, where it's available. So we're doing quite a lot in terms of moving to renewable energy as well, trying to decarbonise where we can, responsible logistics, etc.
And do you have to watch being able to do all that with the price point? Or do you see yourselves, look, we're in a particular area of the market, we have a bit more ability to have a slightly fatter margin than some other companies, or how do you kind of balance that all out?
It's a very delicate balance. We're trying to balance affordability for our customers, responsibility to the environment, food safety, you know, requires a certain level of packaging and convenience. On the plus side with sustainability, when you're reducing your waste and you're reducing your energy use, there's cost savings there. But then all the time we're turning our back on profit that could be, because you're trying to source from the greenest and most sustainable and highest quality of food producers. So you wouldn't believe it, but it's actually cheaper to buy onions delivered to Ireland from China 5,000 miles away, cheaper than you can buy it from a field that's down the road. It's the same.
Tell us why that is.
I wish I knew why. Yeah. I mean, you have to ask questions. What are the labour conditions of the people working in China? What, you know, Minister or Michael McGrath was in China during the week discussing about the safety.
And we can see this with Temu and Shine and all the big Chinese retailers. I don't want to be confrontational with this, but dumping stock effectively in the Irish market at a very low rate.
Exactly, and there's concerns about the safety and the quality of that produce. So we're saying, no, we're not going to buy from far-flung places like that. We're going to try and buy as local as we can to be as green as we can, and also the benefit of the better quality. So there's a massive cost in that. So it's trying to balance that.
So is your starting point to try and source locally as much as possible? Like, that is your starting point. You can't always get there, but that is sort of hardwired into the business.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's from our founding values to do that. And throughout the years, unfortunately, some industries there we were able to source local our raw materials in Ireland. They've moved out of Ireland, such as the sugar industry. There was vinegar. There's various packaging elements we could buy from Ireland. And nearly out of frustration, when we've developed new products, we're like, well, what can be grown in Ireland? So a few years ago, we went down the route of processing beetroot, because beetroot grows really well in Ireland. But all of the products on our supermarket shelves were imported from the EU. So we said, let's try and do this. So we're now like the biggest, we contract the farmer to grow the biggest amount of beetroot in Ireland. It's a massive labour of love and trying to figure out how to do it best, because it was a total new venture for us to really be processing vegetables straight from the field. But it's those important decisions to try to see how we can close down the supply chain to as close as we possibly can.
Okay, well, let's stick at the other end of the supply chain. The man who has to deal with it right at the bottom end where the waste is produced. CEO of Saltec, David Corcoran, you're first of all, you're very welcome. You're dealing with hazardous waste. Can you just give our listeners an idea? There's obviously all kinds of different hazardous waste. So just give us an idea what your business is about.
Yeah, so Saltec is a hazardous waste recycling company. So we would take any type of hazardous waste that any industry would produce, and we'll manage it and recycle as best we can. The speciality we do is recycling waste solvents. So you think about waste solvents like nail polish remover or like paint thinners. So our company can collect it, bring it back to our facility in Mullingar, and we purify it, which allows us to formulate our products. We purify it using a technology known as distillation, and you'd probably be familiar with distillation if you've ever been to a whiskey.
I was about to say, only note like in the whiskey context, so which is probably not helpful here.
Not quite as glamorous as a whiskey distillery, but it's the same type of technology. So that technology allows us to purify the waste material and formulate our products. And the products we would sell would be like paint thinners or hand sanitizer or nail polish remover, and that's sold in Ireland and abroad.
So in a strange, paradoxical way, are you almost, your business does well because the more waste that is produced, you know what I mean? So in other words, shame is at the other end, but I mean, without other companies producing waste and other products, you know, you're kind of almost doing well because of that, but I mean, maybe that's the right way to look at it.
Well, it depends what side of the table you're on, but I suppose Ireland produces between 400,000 and 500,000 tonnes of hazardous waste every year. About half of that is exported out of the country for treatment. So where Saltec is strong and what we're very committed to is investing in infrastructure to treat this waste within Ireland.
It'll have to be done somewhere, so at least you're coming in to do it more locally. So that's a benefit, yeah.
I think at Saltec we've always viewed waste as our raw material. We need waste to make our products. So rather than this material leaving the country and other countries getting benefit of it, we're getting the benefit of making products. So we're kind of trying to move people away from a waste era and into a resource era.
So you presumably have an EPA license, is that how you...
Yeah, we have...
That's your regulator, so...
Yeah, EPA would be our kind of main police, I suppose, that we apply to them.
So how much flexibility do you have with your operations? Can you do certain things, or is it only as per license? Or, you know, in other words, can you kind of innovate a little bit in how you operate, or is it, no, we have to do it this way because the EPA have said we have to do it this way?
Yeah, so I suppose we're on our second EPA license. We got the first one in 2001, and that was very restrictive. We got our second EPA license, and we set out about developing a whole new facility in 2019. So within that license, we put a lot of scope for expansion, the amount of tonnages we can bring in, the types of waste we can bring in. We can actually bring in over 450 different types of waste. And some of the key innovations we've done in recent years, so our distillation, which I've spoke about already, it produces a residue, the kind of unrecyclable material. So with Enterprise Ireland, we set about on doing a research and development program with them, where we actually recycle this residue into a low-quality material, which is used as a fuel in the cement industry. So cement industry...
Okay, so that's where your really strong sustainability comes in. I presume a lot of this stuff years ago, back in after the Second World War, the 60s and 70s, would have just gone to landfill. Is that right? I mean, you've replaced the landfill with the distillation process.
Exactly. Like, you think about the EPA was formed in 1992, Saltec was formed in 1994. The idea of sustainability, circular design, just weren't words people would have used. Nowadays, people are got a lot more aware, and they're trying to do their bit for the environment. I think our company can offer clients something unique about getting their solvents recycled within Ireland.
Now, Seamus, if I come back to you, running a little bit tight on time, but how important is sustainability to you as you've got obviously lots of goals for the business, being profitable, employing people, new product lines, as you said, getting into the US market. I'm sure we could do a whole podcast about Donald Trump and his tariffs and the impact that's had on you. So how do you know which one to emphasize just in terms of the sort of the business plan for your company?
Yeah, look, it's very important personally, and it's important for a business, and it goes hand in hand in terms of sustainability, in terms of benefits to the business. You talked about energy. Can we reduce our energy consumption? That's an economic benefit to the company. So yeah, it kind of very much goes hand in hand, and it's very important to our customers. So that definitely keeps us very motivated to keep it top and center.
Okay, well, listen, they're all three great businesses. I'd like to have more time. We've only taken that one thread out, but interesting thread nevertheless. All three are either current finalists or have been finalists in previous years in the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. Thank you for joining us, David Corcoran, who is CEO of Celtec. We also had Seamus Fahey, who is the CEO and founder of ICS Medical, and Rose Hyde, who's head of operations at Ballymaloe Foods. Good luck to both of our finalists this year, and thanks for your tutelage to them as well. Rose, thank you very much for all joining us on Down to Business.
Thank you very much.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.